had a set of rules of who could take communion. And I can remember my mom and dad, you know, snapping their fingers down a long pew, all the kids sitting there, you know, kind of not for you. Yeah. And we hadn't done all the rules. We hadn't checked all the boxes for what that meant. And I don't say that to shame that or the, it's just, we're waking up, right? There's, don't let your past religious experience define the future. I really feel like he's just giving us a chance to rebuild with them, reconnect with them. And my mom sometimes will say, oh, honey, do you think you'll ever, you know, for her church is a building with a pulpit and a pews and everybody staring at you in the pews. And I would exchange drinking coffee, sitting in the couch and hanging out this way for anything. There's just, I appreciate the intimacy and I hope it feels safe, you know, and yeah, communion should feel safe. I'm gonna probably cut this in parts today, just watching time, just so I'm not, just so I'm respecting you guys' time a bit. But we've been on this several week journey about, well, I guess a conversation about his presence and honoring his presence and valuing his presence, understanding his presence, carrying his presence. And just kind of like, so I had this thought about, you know, Bill Johnson says this statement about, we talk about him being in us, but he's also upon us. It's like, he's in me for my sake, but he's upon me for yours. And I love how Bill says that, and because there's moments where you're going to, like, you know, like Becky in the chapel moments where he's really ministering to you, right? But there's also moments of Becky at Starbucks where she's given a word or she's given an opportunity for an encounter, right? Like, it's like, oh, that person over there sitting at that table, I can't get away from, just want to go up and have a conversation with her, or tell her she looks beautiful. It's like, I love that dress, that color, or I don't know. But it's like those moments where you realize there's something you're releasing to that person, and maybe it's a chance to just pray for them. It might just be a chance to say, "You look so amazing today. I just wanted you to know." But you're releasing something. You're releasing something into their world right then, right? This thought about releasing his presence, or, you know, giving his presence to them. And I was, you know, when we have things like even this morning in worship, I might use words like, wow, that was refreshing. Or I might say, I might use a word like, renewing, right? Or you may have come today and said, no, I didn't feel that, but I just feel encouraged, right? So you might have a word for it. Maybe you come out and say, oh, I feel filled. I came in kind of empty. I don't know. But something that just says, I came in here, now I'm here. Whatever that transition is. But you ever ask the next question? Why? Why you? I came in feeling like a dud. Now I feel.
That would be me.
I feel good.
This morning.
Was it? Can I ask how you felt?
I felt cloudy and I felt terrible. You know, just tired and draggy. And I feel my head is clear. I feel like I want to get up.
I had that experience right here. It wasn't the sense of detachment, but it's like it felt like just more. It felt like. I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Yeah.
I needed that. Or maybe it's just a reminder of, I miss you. maybe it's just there, and I miss you, Thon. And then, but I just was pondering the why part. It's like he filled me. He did this thing. He shifted something inside of me today. Maybe it was my heart. Maybe it's your mind. Maybe it's your a physical strength kind of thing. But it's the, you know, there is a why. You know, and Matthew, and you're familiar with all these. You know, we call them the commission, Great Commission, right? These are part of our whys. By the way, you know, there's a. We always like, we say, okay, he went to the cross, he took care of all, he took care of the business, gave us everything we need, supplied all the resources of heaven to you, sends the Holy Spirit, we have our Pentecost Acts upper room moment, boom, go. But, and you know that he actually gave an the assignment to the disciples before the cross, before the Holy Spirit, and I guess you could say by testimony of scripture, it wasn't sustainable. In fact, it was in Matthew. He told the disciples. Jesus says to them, he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth," and he tells them to go. And but they're the same ones that were in the upper room going, "Oh my gosh, now what?" Anyway, that wasn't what I was. I was just stopped thinking of that right there. That. Before the Holy Spirit, but after the Holy Spirit, he gives us this chance to exercise, this chance to answer the why question, this chance to step out and practice. Wow, I feel strong. I'm ready to let's go pray for somebody. And we've been enjoying this journey of, okay, Jesus is the prototype. Jesus is our model. We're practicing. We're watching him. We're starting to realize, wow, maybe I haven't had his normal. He's like redefining what normal looks like for us, for the Christian, right? For his kids that are waking up to who they are. And it's inevitable that one of the biggest hindrances we have, one of the biggest barriers, is like we go, yeah, that's great. He's got these things for me. And then we have this thought, but wait. That was Jesus. Jesus goes and does these great things. I'm not Jesus. He's the Son of God. All of a sudden we start to go, that's really, that assignment sounds great, but we start to separate and go, yeah, but. That must be the pastor's job. Or that must be this minister's job. Or this person clearly has a gift for praying for the sick, so that's his job, right? And we start to, even though we talk about it, we celebrate it, we enjoy being filled, encouraged, lifted, shifted, changed, healed, released, and then we go, yeah, but, right? And I was thinking, it's like, you know, there's this, like that, you know, it's like probably a series of keys, but God, how do I shift out of this thing that says, I just can't do it, or I just, it seems like too big for me, it seems like it's too much, or how can God possibly say this about me? And I realize it's, all of it starts in that encounter place, mm-hmm. that place where you actually wake up to how much he loves you. There's something, everything else seems like a Bible truth, and I go, okay, check, I get it, I took the test, right? Yes, that's true, yes, Jesus loves me, yes. But then the truth of the waking up to, oh my gosh, he really does love me, right? That's the husband who says, I love you, and wife says, really? I mean, you say it all the time, but show me. There's something that just says, I'm starting to get it. I'm seeing it. I'm everything inside of me. Go ahead.
My heart teacher always said, stop being so thinky.
Stop being so thinky.
It messes you up.
So we have this great assignment where he tells us to go into all the world and do these incredible things. And I would just tell you the first part is you'll never get to that. You'll never walk in that, step into that reality unless we first have this encounter with him. Right? And by the way, yes, it's a moment, but it's a journey of moments. It's like there's it's every day, it's being refreshed and waking up. It's worship again and worship here, and something is like getting things reset, but there's an encounter moment. There's also we call it the Great Commission. Anybody? I had to go. I looked up the word this week. All those verses in Scripture tells us to go and do these big things. Anybody know what the word commission means? Call it the Great Commission.
Mandate.
Okay. Mandate. Anybody else?
Well, it's a collaboration.
Collaboration. Anybody else have a thought? Commission. We call it the Great Commission.
That thought comes to my mind. Somebody paid you to do something.
Oh, okay. You know, here you go. Webster. Webster calls the commission this.
It's a job that you have details for in the contract.
Yeah, there we go. You've been given an assignment, mm-hmm. and you have been authorized to perform that assignment.
We commission officers for the military.
Yes.
We give them a rank and authority. Yeah. That goes
you away. Have a commissioning, and they're basic. You know what you're doing in that commissioning? We're asking you to act on our behalf. We're asking you to lead on our behalf. We're asking you to do this assignment on our behalf. You're actually, Webster goes on to say, you have the authority to act for or in behalf of somebody else. So you've got a set of assignments that's been given to you. You've been given the resources to complete that assignment. And not only that, you have authority to walk it out. And by the way, you're doing it in our name. Right? So I think the military is probably the best. That's probably the best picture of that. But we have, you know, boards and commissions all the time that are stood up to study a problem and go investigate this and that and go. Right? So we have, but hopefully inside, I want you to just think about it. It's like, wait, what are my tasks? What authority's been given me? If he tells me to go do these tasks, clearly I have the material I need to go complete the task. Who am I doing it for? On behalf of who? Right? When you start to wake up, you realize, wow, this is a pretty incredible assignment we've been given, right? Because one of the things that Jesus tells them in Matthew 10, verse 7, he says, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. I'll keep reading, but for a minute, anybody stop and go, this is the part where we go, wait. Right? Wait, that was Jesus. No, Jesus just said, as you go. Right? So we're starting to we're going to start to connect with, wow, I have a huge assignment and nothing's been denied me. All right. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. This is interesting. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person in there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter their home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. We'll talk about that in a second. If it's not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet and when you leave that home or town. Luke chapter 10 says something similar, by the way. It says, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. When you go into a house, let your peace rest on this house. How do you do this? When you go into a house, let your peace rest on this house. Here, picture. Remember the story of Noah? The story of Noah? Ark, right? Do you remember the part that there was a window in the ark? Mm-hmm. and in such a way that you couldn't see outside the window. Basically, I don't know what's happening out there. I don't need to be aware of all the data. I don't need to know what all the conditions are, right? And Noah in Genesis 8 sends, you know what he sends out the window?
A dove.
Come on, it's just, God's cool with his imagery throughout scripture, I think. Remember we talked about the baptism, Jesus' baptism, and what, and the heavens opened up, and that rests on him, and we talked about what does it look like to manage this, to honor this, the presence, in such a way that's like, I'm gonna pay attention to. Nathan, we had this, we were talking about like, let's just say your dad's got a dove on his shoulder, the kids are in the back of the house, and he wants to show the dove to the kids. How's your dad gonna navigate to the back of the house? There's a dove on his shoulder.
Just throw him. Milky bread
ball. He's gonna be careful. He's gonna be so it's like you take a step. What if the dove goes? You know, it's like there's an attentiveness to. Hey, what's going on? That was quick. Or that was, I'm gonna be cautious and careful. And we were talking about this. Attentiveness to the Holy Spirit, attentiveness to his presence in such a way, almost using that picture of the dove, it's like, what do you want to do? It's the Becky in Starbucks, and there's the girl on the table, and you're attentive to, God, what do you want me to do right now? I could blow this big time, I could lose an opportunity, I could say the wrong thing, what do you want to do? And so there's an attentiveness. Anyway, I just thought it's cool that Noah sends out the dove to this unknown. Right? Let's see, Dave said, what was your word for the morning?
Peace.
Okay, here's, right? You know that in the kingdom, peace is not the absence of something.
Peace is a presence.
Oh, come on! That's it right there. Peace is his presence. Peace is, he's here. Right? In the world, you know, you turn on CNN, don't do that. But if you
so peace.
Oh, you can tell Terry I said that. The world, they would say peace is no war. Peace is no conflict. Peace is no noise. Right? But in the kingdom, it's like Jesus slept in the midst of the storm. So it's not about this all has to go away. It's like in the midst of it, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. In the midst of my crazy mess, I'm okay. In the midst of a sickness, it's nagging. And it's still like hanging on. In the midst of pain, it's like he's here. And it's like I can experience peace in the midst of this storm. Go ahead. Come on, I want to hear.
There's a story of Christmas peace in World War I.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
If you know the story, the Germans were in their trench singing, and the British were in their trench. Yeah, and they heard it, so they sang back in English.
Come on.
And the next morning, it was quiet, and the British guy got up. And then the German guy got up, and then they got in trouble.
Yeah.
After the peace was, they settled it, the guns
come
were popped
on.
And they stopped their sharing, but they got in trouble, and there were new edicts on both sides saying that you cannot be friends with the enemy.
I love that story. That is a good one.
Because they had a hard time shooting once they got play and talk and sing and the exchange gifts.
Kind of defeats the purpose of war.
Yeah. But it was the song
that's a good word.
That was The peace.
Silent line.
Yeah, silent line.
In the kingdom, peace is a person. Peace is presence, his presence, right? So when he says to go, when you go in a house, right, and release, you see where we're going?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, this is who he is. This is what he says. And sometimes it's gonna come up. It's like, how do I give this to you? I go to hang out in Willie's house. It's like, ooh, how do I, right? John 6, chapter 6 says this, it's the spirit who gives life. It says the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit. They are life. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. John tells us this. He's God's Word in physical form. Right? How many times have we, Dave, talked about Logos and Rama? Right? Yeah. Jesus says that when he talks, that word becomes spirit. So whenever Jesus is talking, there's a release of the spirit around him. And by the way, just like that picture of the dove, that it's always looking for a place to rest.
Yeah.
Right? That's why he says that the peace, if it doesn't find a place to rest, it comes back to you, right? All ministry, this won't get me in trouble. There's a lot of good things people do that he's not always in. That's okay, right? All ministry is about your relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And really about your desire to find people that he rests on. That may have come out clunky, but even everything we do here is really just to, it's like, wow, we're like welcoming this truth here, right? He's in me for my sake. He's on me for yours. That's your truth too. He's in you for your sake. He's like, oh, this is who I am. And this is what I carry. Right? It's like this awareness of what's in me. So when the Spirit of God is resting upon us, right? You're Becky at Starbucks. He's positioned her to impact the nature of that lady's world in the corner.
To bring awareness.
Yeah, there's a, when the Spirit of God rests on us, he's positioned us to impact the nature of somebody's world. Paul says in Romans that the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's
righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
In the Holy Spirit. I want to emphasize that last part. In the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God, our Lord's kingdom. It's all of it. That whole big thing. That how can we get our head around how big all of this is in the Holy Spirit. Right? The kingdom of God is in the Spirit, Holy Spirit. It's the kingdom of God is in his presence. Where's peace? Kingdom is here. That's why I love Jesus, man. It's like, kingdom of God has come upon you. Kingdom of God is here. That's why he could open. That's like, all right, time to open some eyes. Time to open up some ears, right? So how did Jesus release it, right? So we'll step into a few things, but I'll just do one of them right now, which is Jesus said, he only said what the Father is saying. Okay? Our words become spirit. Okay? Told us that, right? Those words are create, right? Spirit, life. Life is in those words, right? He says, so we release the kingdom when we say what the Father is saying. So as Jesus talks, what do we see in Scripture? The reality over people's worlds change. How about this? How about this? When Jesus talks, their options change. The options available to them changed. Right? When Jesus talks, the reality over them changes. Right? So when he speaks, he only speaks what the Father's saying. His words become spirit. That spirit contains kingdom. Right? So when he says change the way you think, which he does all through Scripture and the New Testament, change needed. And Paul helps us remember this in all his letters to the churches. We need to change the way we're thinking, right? We need to change what we're saying, because what we're releasing kingdom wherever we go, right? Where there's a new reality we're introducing. And we've been partnering with this old view, this old kingdom view. That's right. We've been partnering with some other view. It's like, look, we're changing the way we think because I'm bringing his kingdom with me. Right? We're changing the way we think, right? Mm-hmm. So we're learning to, how do we host the presence? We're acknowledging what he's given us. We're learning to release his presence. And we start to do that by intentionally releasing the Holy Spirit, right, through our words, right? So it begs the question, what is empowering the words? If I'm gonna release things, he tells us he only said what the Father's saying. Maybe I'll just speed through this here, this thought. He only says what the Father's saying. That means everything he spoke had its origins in the Father's heart. So I guess I would just say, Becky, that thought you had about college, about rushing to the chapel, and about reconnecting with him, that encounter with him. I wonder, for me, it's difficult to imagine if Jesus is saying only what the Father's saying, and it only happens through the encounter, trying to get my head around the relationship between the Father and his Son in such a way that everything he thought, everything he said, everything he did was because it was on the Father's heart. So this thing about those encounter times, those intimate times, you know, Scripture talks constantly about Jesus getting away with the Father. And you can probably think of several of them just off the top of your head, where it's like, I just need to get away. And we would often retreat to be alone. I guess I would say to you guys, maybe that's the takeaway for today. How's your encounter time with them? How's your encounter time, Willie? How's your alone time? How's your resting time with them? How's your time with them? And again, it's not work. It's that, how's your intimate, sweet connection time with the Lord? And maybe it's just putting worship on as you're driving to work, but there's something in your heart that's starting to like be, it's like, I just wanna, Bill Johnson says this sometimes, I don't wanna have a thought in my head that's not in his, something like mm-hmm. that. And how do I get to the point where it's like, I'm daydreaming his thoughts. I'm sitting with my cup of coffee and just pondering, what does he wanna do today? Right. It's easy to get kind of distracted. It's like, I just want to be about connecting with them in the encounter in such an intimate way that I'm hearing what he's saying, I'm aware of what he wants to do, and just in that moment, in the Starbucks moment, it's like, wow, this isn't even a risk anymore. It's just, it feels so natural to go to that person's table and say, you look so amazing this morning. I just wanted you to know that. I mean, whatever that first step is, or whatever that thing he's putting on your heart, but it just feels so natural. It feels so alive inside of you. I'm not saying that there isn't the risk factor, There's not something that just says, this feels, I'm nervous. What if they think I'm funny? What if they think I'm a fool? There's those moments happen, but something inside of your heart just, it's like, I can't escape. I'm supposed to go have this moment with this person. And maybe it's a moment to buy their coffee. Maybe it's a moment to put a 20 on the table and say, I have no idea why I'm doing this, but I just feel I'm supposed to leave this here for you. Mm-hmm. But you get these moments, and it's like, I just want to encourage you this week. Practice your connection time with them. Give yourself some space for it in your day. Trust that he's blowing on your coals. He's stirring something up inside. He's reconnecting with you. Be aware of him as you're stepping out of the house, as you're walking into Walmart, as you're heading into the office, as you're taking your walk around the block. And it's like, you know what? I always see this guy walking his little dog. I always might say hi, but today I'm gonna stop and just say, I always see you all the time. I just wanted to just say hi and just let you know I think it's fun seeing you out. I don't know. But that extra moment this week where you're attentive, you're aware, and we're just gonna practice, what is it you're doing right now? What is it you're saying? And practice releasing kingdom through words. And don't worry about preaching. Don't worry about, let me give you a scripture. Don't worry about the three laws or the four laws or the gospel tract and the Romans. Don't worry about that. Just love the person. Just encourage the person. I mean, if Jesus was here right now, he's not preaching to him. He's just loving him. And how big is the kingdom? What's our new measuring stick? It's like, wow, it really is about just how big your love is. And so this week is just a step of practicing releasing his presence. Let's just practice it through Jesus showed us that our words bring life, our words carry spirit. We're just practicing, we're hosting this, we practice releasing it. And next week I'll talk about some very physical ones like touch and just faith, acts of faith, and prophetic things. And then we'll wrap up this time of just hanging out with the present. Sound good? So Father, we just say thanks that your kingdom is so big and we're waking up to it. And thanks for not giving up on us. God, I just want to explore your love this week. And so I pray for everybody in the room who, as they touch their pillows with their head, that God, you just invade their dreams with your goodness. God, I pray that you just kind of unleash visions to them as they're going throughout their day. I pray that fear gets its butt kicked this week. That the discouragement is gone, and fear is trampled on, God, and your love wins. And God, I pray for rescue in bodies this week. So we speak again, God, to physical needs in bodies this week. Be healed in Jesus' name. God, we over our kids. God, be healed in Jesus' name. God, we just see their eyes open to Jesus. We see their hearts welcoming his love. God, just to the little ones and to the old ones. You know, it's not a thing about their age, guys. To the 6-month-old and to the 60-year-old, we just say, open eyes in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen.